it like for you playing in front of that juggernaut of the Cork hurling fan base?
Yeah, there's not much. It's the thing I'm probably going to miss most. You know, there's a buzz that comes off it that, like, will never ever be replaced. We were lucky enough to have felt that, you know, it's been on the field there and hearing the roar or hearing, you know, the excitement of the Cork crowd is something like that. Couldn't imagine, like, it's scary, it's exciting, it's like the best thing you could imagine on the field.
Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour as we take a look ahead to the league final tomorrow in the Castle of Grayskull to take on those Limerick Villains for a trophy. Obviously, we'll have lots of Limerick listeners today because they care more about what Cork are doing the last 3 years than what their own team are at. But look, big shout out to Ray Lucy listening in, one of Cork Hurling's biggest fans. The Rebel in the West is waiting for the Storm to pass out in Mayo before the Storm Shannon side tomorrow. Anyway, what better way to kick things off then with Melanie Brown, Red FM's very own Border Woman, as we quickly talk about the under 20 results during the week before looking ahead to the senior game. Right, we're delighted to be joined here by our very own Mel Brown here on Red FM. Mel, you were at the under 20 game for us before we look ahead to the senior one. We're going to talk about Cork versus Limerick in the under 20s. Cork 4-18 at Limerick 21 points. Can you try to talk us through this one first of all?
Oh, it was a great game. Like, the score looks comfortable on paper, but it didn't really reflect the game. Like, Cork, again, like the Tipperary game, took a while to settle in. I think it was about 8 or 9 minutes before their first score. But, like, once they did, they settled in and they flipped the game completely. I think within 10 to 15 minutes, they were up 4 or 5 points. Barry Walsh, he got 2-9. I think 1-1 or 1-2 of that coming from play. The big turning point in the game, Limerick went down to 14 men and Cork get a penalty, scored at, and the lead stretched from 3-13 to 11 points. Now, there was pockets of the game where Limerick looked likely to come back in, but Cork, once they got that momentum going, there was no stopping them. Like, they were just playing like a deranged animal. Like, their Zach Bagan was brilliant. I think Barry O'Flynn, captain for Sarris, he got 1-1. Connor Noonan from Kanturk, he played very good. And the full back line, Dennis Fitz, he was instrumental in a lot of the play. They were just playing like a really, really good team.
Well, that's it. Are you surprised Barry Walsh isn't starting even on the panel for the senior game against Limerick tomorrow?
Yeah, it's just a surprising one. Like, you normally see when a player is kind of on the age of the under 20s, kind of in there and about, that they would kind of lean towards the senior. And I was just saying to you off there, like, their next game now is 2 weeks away to Waterford. That's 5 days before our first senior championship game against Tipperary. What happens? Does Noel Furlong get preference, or is he going to stick with the seniors? You'd imagine a player of Barry's calibre, like, is going to stick with the seniors, but it's a weird one, yeah.
I'd go the opposite way. I think, well, Ben O'Connor spoke a few weeks back. He said that'll be up to Ian Jones, I think his name is. He's the SSC coach. So he said it'll be up to him, really. I know Barry himself, sure, of course he'd want to be involved with the seniors, but I think from a Cork development point of view, they might actually lean more into the under 20 side. And look, you hope and pray Cork get through Munster. They've plenty of talent enough to do that. And then he gets involved later on in the championship would kind of be my take on it.
Definitely, yeah. And like, obviously last year they just narrowly missed out against Tipperary. It was a controversial game, as was the game this year. But hopefully they just go one step further in that under 20, especially with Noel Furlong's contract coming to an end at the end of the season.
What did Noel say after the game for himself? We'll play out some audio now after this, but what did Noel have to say for himself?
He was happy, yeah. Again, obviously the fact that they were a bit slow to get into the game, like their uneasiness kind of to settle in was something worrying. But he did say like they had 10 scores. He was just happy with how they played. Obviously, Dennis Fitzgerald, apologies, in the full back line. He was very happy with him. And of course, Barry Walsh. Like, he just was full of praise for the boys. So there's obviously some tweaking to be done. Their discipline was slightly towards the end. It got a little bit sloppy, but overall, he was happy.
Yeah, it's great to see the under-20s coming through. Dennis Fitzgerald, by all accounts, the Bright Rovers man, is definitely supposed to be one for the future as well. We're looking forward to the future, and we skip forward to 4 o'clock tomorrow, and probably the tastiest rivalry in Irish sport at the moment. Cork versus Limerick will throw in at the Gaelic grounds. Melanie, what's your thoughts? I know you're a border woman, like, so it means more to you than most of us.
Well, a rebellion on Easter Sunday is quite fitting, and I'm hoping it just swings in our favour. But like, this is just like any time Cork and Limerick meet, it's just amazing, and it's obviously that edge to it. Like, they did hand it to us down in the Gaelic grounds about 5-6 weeks ago, but like, both teams have put out a strong enough team. We obviously mentioned the omission of Barry Walsh already, but we have Micheál Mullins coming in for Mark Coleman in the fullback or the halfback line. That is a full Glen Rovers halfback line, I think the first time in history. And then you've Tim O'Mahony and Tommy O'Connell in midfield. They are two fiery pups, and they're coming up against Cian Lynch and Adam English, I believe. I think that's my pairing for tomorrow, will be the two midfield battles.
The two midfield battles. I think the best rivalry will be Rob Downey versus Aidan O'Connor. Surely the player of the league for me anyway so far is Aidan. He's been unbelievable. He's been on the Limerick Freeze. Going to be so interesting to see how Rob fares against him. And also Kieran Joyce, to see how he gets on in fullback once more. I wasn't overly impressed with him against Offaly, I have to be honest. But look, he was launched in there. I think he played fullback in an under-20 team. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's not completely new to him, but it's relatively new at senior level. And I expect him to get more used to it. He knows he's going to be coming up against Shane O'Brien, like a top hurler, one of the best full forwards in the country. And two big lads going at it. I think those two are going to be the main battles, to be honest. It's extremely exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, and that fullback, like, that kind of has been our Achilles heel with a while. Like, Ben O'Connor even speaking about it recently, like, it's no longer the biggest, strongest man in your team. Like, he has to be a skillful hurler. Like, it's just, I don't know. It is kind of a worrisome spot. Not to say Kieran Joyce isn't fantastic, but that is kind of where we falter slightly.
A small bit. I look at it again, just from the size of the county in Cork and the hurling tradition, it'd be nice to have a nailed on fullback like a Diarmuid O'Sullivan. Maybe he might come out of retirement for us, but who knows. Full forward line, William Buckley, he gets his well deserved start in this group as well. I think we probably have the best full forward line in the country, to be honest, looking at it from the league point of view. William Buckley, Alan Connolly and Brian Hazen there. It's a tough Limerick fullback line, but I think those lads are going to have more than enough to get the job done against them tomorrow.
Oh, they're a goal scoring threat. Like, and I can't imagine Connolly and Hayes, like, they're going to want to get that ball and straight into the full back line. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah. I just, even I'm looking at this team in front of me now, and I'm like, I just really do think, even from a Cork bias, like, they look to have the stronger team, a stronger bench.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd hope so. I think, I'm not sure at this stage. Limerick look awesome this year.
Yeah,
I think it's good for us to start lumping a bit of pressure back onto them and start hyping them up, because it's been done to us the last number of years and we haven't got over the line. So it's nice to fire something back at them.
Big three veterans in, what's like Peter Casey, Darrow Donovan and Dan Morrissey, like, they are all starting. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we're going to go down to the Gaelic grounds tomorrow and absolutely have those Limerick fans crying at half time leaving, but I just definitely think this Cork team, looking at them and even the bench, like, you have Damien Cahalan, Hugh O'Connor, Robbie O'Flynn, Decky Dalton, like, I'm not going to lie, I kind of forgot he was on the panel with the lack of game time he's got in the last 2-3 games. Like, it is just,
it's ferocious.
Crazy.
It's ferocious, especially in that full in that forward line. He started off amazingly. Maybe full forward is going to be the option for him. But the lads have just been playing so well in there. You can't leave out William Buckley. You won't be able to leave out Barry Walsh come championship time either, in my opinion. Seamus Harnady is getting a few minutes. No, I know he's got a few minutes in the league, but I'm surprised to see him starting. To be honest, I thought someone else might have picked it up in there. But look, he's getting more minutes into the legs. Be good to see him back. Shane Barrett, of course, the Blarney man, is in there, and Dara Fitz against Kyle Hayes. Not enough people are probably talking about this one. Like two of the best hurlers in the country, it must be said, are going to be going at it as well, and the matchups just keep getting better and better the more I'm actually looking at the two teams here now at the moment.
That's it. And Fitzgibbon this year, there's definitely more of an edge to him. We're seeing more of a, like, a bit more of a fight to him. Usually he'd be kind of Cork's golden boy, you know, wouldn't get into as many scruffles as the rest of them. But the last few games, I think himself and Hayes are going to have that, like you say, it's every matchup is just, you don't know where to be watching on the field, because there will be, like, these teams just bring fireworks all over the pitch. Like, no matter what you're watching, something's going to be happening.
Yeah, well, I think that comes from the freedom to let them play now this year, and they're getting called the dirtiest team in the country for it and stuff. That's just the other Munster counties being bitter as usual towards Cork. I don't think they're any dirtier than any other county. Look at the 2024 All-Ireland, and the referee won that final for Clare. your bins, letting them have the freedom to play out on the pitch and get away with as much as they can. I've been crying out for Cork to do it for years now. We were just by far and away the softest when it came down to it. But it's good to see finally a bit of Cork steel and a bit of Cork metal. And look, what better way to demonstrate it by getting our captain out and involved. You saw it against Tip, what happened. You saw it against Galway. They wanted to have a go and test us as well. We saw what happened. Limerick will definitely be looking to put it up to us tomorrow. It's going to be a tough one as well, because what? We play Limerick again in 3 weeks' time after. So they're probably going to be looking at the next two games as killing us in the cot for the year ahead, I think, from a Limerick point of view.
But Limerick do have a slight advantage. Obviously, we're out again in 2 weeks against Tip in Turlet. Cork have that 3 week break. So they obviously can push that slightly bit longer. They'll have those extra weeks to kind of recover. So I don't know. But then you can look at it from the other side. If we give them a hammering tomorrow, morale could be low. You can look at that in one of two ways. Like, their first game will be coming down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Obviously, there's that big fan zone on the Saturday. So, like, the city is going to be hopping. No Limerick fan enjoy the trip down to Cork.
No, but look. Leave them at it, like, you know what I mean? They're always whinging anyway down there about Cork anyway. Look at any Facebook comments to do with Cork, and it's always a Limerick, yeah, count given out as usual. They're absolutely obsessed with us wearing their anyone but Cork t-shirts. But anyway, moving on before they start ringing in. the ticketing situation, of course, we have Clare versus Dublin as the curtain raiser to this one. What's your take on it? Surely the fandoms between Cork and Limerick, the absolute hype. I know their hype only started in 2018. But surely it could have sold out on its own.
Misjudgment. Yeah, a complete misjudgment on the GAA parts. Like, it's not fair on Clare and Dublin either. Like, Clare, to be fair to them, they have a big following. They're just over the road from Limerick. I'd like to know what their ticket allocation was. I can't imagine it was very high, given that Limerick and Cork didn't get a lot of tickets. I think it could have been two standalone fixtures, one tonight in Turles even. Clare and Dublin, bring them down to Turles, they'd have gotten a healthy maybe 10,000-12,000. But Clare or Cork and Limerick, they were always going to sell it out. It was just complete misjudgment on the GAA part.
Well, hopefully it's a good trip to Limerick tomorrow. If you're Ben O'Connor, and he's come out about it, he's said he's going to show you when everything he can, and look, we have no reason not to believe him, and he's kind of dismissed the element of, oh, it could be potential shadow boxing. Surely he's gone for it, and surely we're going to know a fair bit about Cork after tomorrow, about potential All-Ireland.
Yeah, like, what Ben has done for Cork hurling, even as a player and with Newtown, like, he's not going to put out a bogus team. Like, he has that winner mentality. He's not going to want to lose, and definitely not want to lose to Limerick. So I think tomorrow is going to be very telling. Like you said, Seamus Harndy, I'd like to see how he fares in half forward, and Ciarán Joyce. Like, I think tomorrow, like, will tell a lot. And definitely, I think, yeah, we're going to know our real championship side, I think, tomorrow at about half five.
I think we know where to improve as well. And look, it's a league final. We won one last year. It was great to win one on the day, but unfortunately didn't get over the big one in the end. So look, if Limerick win tomorrow, they'll have Dáil Éireann for the day. They'll be delighted to get the win over Cork. Haven't beat us in any big game for a fair while now, 2 years, I think. So look, they'll be happy with it. I think Limerick will get the job done, but I think we'll get him in Croke Park. I have a funny feeling that sometime this year we'll get our own back. How do you think it's going to go?
Right, Dan. Look, Cork bias. I do see a Cork win by 2 points, but I don't. It's not going to be a landslide either which way.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Mel Brown, enjoy the game. You're in the studio here tomorrow, aren't you, presenting?
I am indeed. I'll hopefully be chatting to you after a Cork win tomorrow evening.
Hopefully. I'll call you from a hospital bed, I'd say, if those Limerick fans get their hands on me. But anyway, we'll hopefully talk to you then, Mel. Thanks, Mel.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from Mel Brown. I don't have time to get out the Noel Furlong, your Cork Under 20 Boss audio on today's show from their match against Limerick during the week. Mel might play it tomorrow on her own show at 6 o'clock. But we will hear from Ben O'Connor, the senior boss, after the break in his press conference from last week. And a great, great press conference it was. But now let's hear from Cork vice captain Mark Coleman.
Yeah, very happy, to be fair. Not to be happy when you're in the final, really, isn't it? So 5 wins out of 6, and I suppose got a lot of game time into newer fellas and blood of new fellas and stuff like that, so I suppose we have to be happy with it.
So there's a mark of more consistency kind of coming in, that you're kind of back-to-back league finals, following up on back-to-back arrivals.
Yeah, I suppose it's 5 finals in a row now at this stage, so that's
definitely a good marker. Consistency is probably a stick that we would have been beaten with for a long time, that lack of consistency. So I suppose, yeah, getting to finals and hopefully winning them is a big thing for this group, you know.
Does it feel a bit different going into this final compared to last year, Mark? Maybe last year there was a lot of significance placed on the importance of getting a bit of silverware. Maybe this year not quite as much.
Yeah, I suppose we probably hadn't won silverware in a long time before the one going in last year, whereas we've the two trophies from last year. So I suppose there isn't as, I suppose, big a hype around winning a trophy this year. I suppose less pressure, if you want to say that, like, you know.
Yeah, because it's important, the performance, maybe just kind of maintaining a good performance going into the championship, but yeah.
Well, of course you want to win it when you're going up, you want to win every game, like, you know what I mean? But ultimately you're just going after a performance, and hopefully that'll be good enough, you know. Yeah.
Was it a hamstring? Yeah. Missed a couple of games, did it?
Yeah, hamstring against Tip. Yeah.
Was never any fear that it was anything serious or anything like, was it?
No, it was just straightforward hamstring injury. Just had to give it time, about 4 to 6 weeks. Like, so I was probably fortunate in the time that it felt that.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was a long injury, but it was probably five or 6 weeks in the end. But yeah, it was fine. Like,
is it frustrating? Are you at the stage now where you've dealt with, unfortunately for you, you've dealt with a few injuries and you kind of know the rehab needed and the patience, and just to kind of keep your head right, like, to make sure the body is right?
Yeah, and I was in a similar position last year as well. It's just you have to have patience, and I suppose I was in a better position this year personally with a good block of pre-season, and I think I had 3 league games played, which was a different position than I was in last year. I had very little play coming into the championship, so it probably gave me that bit more confidence when I did get injured, that I was probably at a higher base than I was last year anyway. So not like anything, like, there's fellas in, you know, worse positions than me with injuries and stuff like that. So when it comes to that, it's all part of it. You just kind of roll with the punches when it comes to injuries like that and do the work and get back, like.
And I suppose from that point of view, you must have been delighted for Paulie the other night coming on and getting points. Like.
I was delighted, yeah, because, you know, it's been 13 months, I think, now, like, which is, it's a long, long time to be out of the game. And I suppose he only got back in training fully with us maybe 6 weeks ago, like, so it's a full year of him just being on his own with the physios and doing work on his own, and he's obviously put in massive work to get back, like, so I was delighted to see him back and looking sharp as well, clipping a few points, which was always nice.
Have we been able to give him any kind of advice of your own experience in 2023, wasn't it? You missed all of that year,
I suppose it was a different injury, but I suppose we always talk to him, you'd always meet him in the gym and stuff like that, and just, I suppose, just bouncing stories off him and seeing where he's at, like, and probably trying to give him a bit of reassurance in terms of where I was at with my injury and stuff like that, like, that, you know, at times you might be feeling something in your knee, and it's, I was just trying to try, maybe saying, like, oh, I felt the same thing, whatever, like, and trying to make sure I felt it that way. But no, it was a very different injury, but it's just, I suppose he's had plenty of injuries as well. He knows the ups and downs, I suppose, talking to fellas, and everyone knows, like, it's not a straightforward kind of road back to playing. It's always going to be good weeks, bad weeks, good news, bad news, setbacks. You're never going to meet the deadlines or the kind of markers along your rehab. You're never going to meet them, really, when it comes to, like, year-long injuries and stuff like that. So, like, that just rolling with it, like, and like, he probably would have hoped to have been back playing with the club last year, but wasn't quite ready. Like,
he was named, wasn't he, for the semi-final? Was he as a sub?
Yeah, he was named.
Never had a chance coming out as well.
I think he'd done a session or two with us, but I don't think he would have ever been confident in playing. He probably would. I don't think he ever would have played. Like, came back training with us with Cork this year. He didn't get into contact, like I said, until 6 weeks ago. So I'd say, with those things, especially done the shoulder as well, so that was probably what, you know, getting back into contact was a bit more difficult for a fellow like him when you have two injuries to deal with, you know.
Yeah, but I suppose it's helped in that Ian is kind of overseeing everything. I've been, has kind of name checked him a few times already, like, he has full faith in kind of what Ian says, like, so it's great to have that kind of confidence in a fellow that he knows exactly what's best for each guy in terms of the physical load.
Yeah, like, and there's a lot of top class fellas around with Ian as well. He's a good support group with him, and then the physios obviously were kind of the main fellas, Rory and Kevin, looking over it, and we've a good medical team there with us, and strength and conditioning as well, so we're lucky that way.
Have you found anything about Ben's management or his style or the coaching surprising? Like, I don't mean that in a bad way, no, it could be surprising in a good way, like, or has it been kind of what you'd have expected?
It's kind of what I expected, to be honest. Yeah. We knew the kind of person Ben was coming into it with the, obviously he's been involved with Middleton and Charleville in the under-20s and stuff, so
yeah.
I think everybody knew the kind of character he was, and that's exactly the way he's been since he came in with both with us, and which he's the same with us as he is with you, like just straight to the point.
Yeah.
That's it, like, so no surprises, just basically, you know, we get a lot of the same messages from every management team. It's just different ways of communicating it, so it's very much, there was no surprise, like, really.
Yeah, and it seems like a group that kind of almost enjoys having high demands made, like, you know, as can be seen by the, like you say, the consistency of the results.
Well, yeah, I think you're when you're playing for the Cork Hurlers, there's always kind of high demands, like, isn't there? There's always that kind of, I suppose, external noise that you have to deal with, whether you're going well or whether you're not going well. So, something I suppose we're used to, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, we kind of try and block it out and get on with what we have to do, really. Like, you know, that's the way you have to, in any high performance environment, is try and just focus on the group ourselves, and that's kind of what we've been doing the last few years, anyway.
Yeah. Is it easy to block out?
No. Not easy, but you're going to have to. I suppose, especially in this day and age with social media and all that, there's things just get thrown up in your screen without even, you know, you might have nothing, you might just open your phone, there'll be something there, but you just have to kind of roll with it, expect, know that that's going to come with the territory, and just do your best not let it affect you. It probably comes easier for the older fellas, but it's the younger fellas who might struggle with it a bit, you know, they might find it hard to walk away from it, but all you can do is just advise them and just say, look, it's all part of the territory, and we just focus on ourselves and keep it. All that matters is the opinions and whatever inside the four walls of the dressing room, so that's all we have to kind of keep telling fellas, really, like.
Was your fan stuff kind of knocking you off your stride when you were younger, or is it easier?
No, I would have never really kind of delved into too much on the social media side, like, but it probably wasn't as bad when I was younger either, like, I think over the last years it's probably with social media, TikTok, everything, there's so many podcasts and short form media and all that kind of crack, so it's probably more difficult for fellas now, like.
And even for friends and family, is it always tougher for them to be reading stuff about someone, like, players tend to kind of be able to block it out better as time goes on, but, like, are you kind of saying to people around you, like, you know, I'm ignoring it, so you need to ignore it too,
I probably should tell them that, it definitely is harder for them, because I suppose for me, obviously, you've people coming up to you, or for all the lads and work, whatever, you're meeting people on a day to day, and it's all they want to talk to you about, whereas I just kind of switch off. But most people will be sounding off and they'll be careful what they say to you, but then for your family or whoever, like, they mightn't even know that they have anything to do with myself or any of the lads, like, and I suppose at the matches and stuff, probably hard for them if they hear you getting abuse or any of the lads getting abuse, all their friends, that's their friends of them as well, like, so probably is harder for them because people just don't know, and they hear things they don't want to hear, but for us it's just, might be a bit easier because people wouldn't be as, well, sometimes they are, but as blunt into your face, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If someone sent you a clip, you mentioned podcasts, if someone sent you a clip, would you delete it or would you go into it, or?
People don't send me clips, thank God.
I don't mean strangers, like families or family.
No, they wouldn't send me that. They know better than to be sending me anything like that, no.
Okay. Did any of the stuff with regard to your challenge in Galway and Saltillo, and the commentary that flowed from that, did any of that come across your radar? What was said?
No.
What
was it?
Anthony
Daly,
definitely.
And then the Examiner podcast as well, to be fair. Definite red card.
No. The first I heard of it.
That's fine. No.
What have you made of Limerick this year, Mark, in the context of, say, I suppose after the Dublin game for them last year, there was maybe a certain narrative that it was the end of an era for them, but they've kind of regenerated with a few younger players coming in, look potentially as formidable as they have.
Yeah, done. I suppose they've been formidable the last few years, even just probably got caught once or twice, which is always going to happen when you're on a streak of all Ireland's and a streak of Munsters, like, they've been, and they were always going to hit a small little lull at some stage or an off day, but, like, they're definitely as formidable as ever, and they look sharp this year. We saw that firsthand in the game against ourselves up there, so yeah, they're definitely as sharp as ever, you would think.
Is it easier going there for a final, having won the Munster final there last year? Like, you know, any fear factor kind of gone with the Gaelic grounds, you know, or like even though you had beaten them twice in 2024, obviously there was the game last night, like, but you know, you're kind of going in for the most of the final as underdogs, like, just because it's Limerick, it's together, you know, they've won whatever, six in a row prior to that, but because you kind of ended that run, this scene now was kind of more 50-50, like, if that makes sense.
Maybe, yeah, but I think for us, like, it's obviously still going to be a massive challenge going up there, like,
of course, yeah.
Like, we were running on, it was just going to be a difficult day for us, or going to be a difficult task for us, like, but just after much of the final, I suppose all it does is give you that bit of extra confidence, like, you know.
Yeah.
You're never going to be going in there with fear or anything like that. It's just, you always draw from your past experiences. Like, we were fortunate, I suppose, very fortunate to come up there last year after penalties, like, you know, so it's never going to be an easy day up there, but I suppose just that bit of confidence off the back of last year, maybe. But, you know, it's obviously still going to be a difficult task anytime you go up to the Gaelic grounds.
And, like, the Munster final actually was just 3 weeks after the group game. Like, was it easy? Like, how difficult was it to kind of block out that and put it down as being just an off day?
It was actually easy enough, to be honest. We just kind of, we just knew it was an off day, and we just had the bit between the teeth for a couple of weeks, and just knew that it was a very simple fix that time, you know.
Okay,
it was a work rate thing.
Yeah.
You know, we'd so many clips from that game where it was just like, you know, simple fixes, like, so.
Yeah.
To be able to turn around that, everyone thought it was a big, massive turnaround, but 15, what did we lose by the first game?
16.
Like, you could easily pick out 16 instances in that game where a runner wasn't tracked or whatever, and, you know, if you get all those things right, as you should each day, but we didn't that day. Like, it can be an easy fix, just a matter of work rate and mentality, that kind of side of things, you know.
Mark, you said earlier winning last year's league was important for the group because probably the majority didn't have a piece of silverware. What do you think can be the value of winning this league, beyond the obvious of momentum and consistency? Is there anything you feel that...
Just another medal, really, I think. There's new fellas on the panel as well who probably don't have any silver over Cork, so, like that, every time there's silver for grabs, you want to win it. Like, it's not like we've tons of medals, like, we only have a few, maybe, in the group, like, each, so every time there's one on the table, you want to go and win them. Like.
Can I just ask you about Shane Paternity, Mark? His importance to the panel, because I think from the moment he came into the team and established himself, his level of performance has never dropped. Stayed quite the whole way through, even up until now. It's not as if he's a guy who's hanging in there and coming on for the last 10 minutes of the game. He's still vital to the team, really.
He is, and to be fair, I suppose the way he trains is probably where that all comes from. Like, you know, when you're marking him in training, you know, you're in for a difficult half an hour or whatever. Like, he's... you know, he's always a fellow who sets the standards in training and all that, and just a great fellow to have around the group, really. Someone who's, I don't know, 35, is he?
He's 35,
and goes around, he acts like he's 25, like, you know, he chills with everyone, so he's a great fellow that way, and always good to, you know, bring fellas or help fellas on and bring them into the group and make them feel welcome and stuff like that, and you know, sets the standard in training is the main thing, really.
And that was Cork vice captain Mark Coleman there. So we're looking ahead to tomorrow's clash in the Gaelic grounds. It's time to hear now from boss Ben O'Connor, who was speaking to the media last week.
Is it just Duds is the only?
Well, we've a couple more now. With two Roaches, Owen got hurt the weekend playing for Bride Rovers, and Brian has been out a while with an ankle, and Duds is still weeks away from being ready. Like, so, but. He's up for a scan someday this week, so hopefully he'll get a bit of good news out of that, but he looks under pressure at the moment. And,
under pressure in the sense of long term?
Yeah, he'll have another 4 or 5 weeks
right
ahead of him at least. So, but we won't know more until he scanned. Like, yeah. He was scanned for 4 weeks ago, I think he was scanned, so he'd wait to be scanned now again just to see, but he hasn't trained with us. He's doing his own rehab with Rory and McKevin. So
it's unfortunate timing from a guy who was obviously established himself last year, like.
Yeah, never injured before, so
right.
Like, even when he hurt it, he didn't know how bad it was because he was never injured before, and I suppose it's the first time that he's sitting out watching for the training, so it's not nice from, like, but it's just all part of it. The older he gets, he'll figure out how to pass his time, like, but it's just unfortunate for him, especially after a breakthrough season last year, and getting to league fight, and he's going to lose out in that now as well. So
Alan Connolly, I think he said, got a knock, sorry.
He's got a bang, he's playing it. No fear of Alan, he's back.
How big is it getting to a first final, this league final?
Yeah, we're delighted. I sent to the boys there earlier on this. I was overwatching 1998 in Turles when they won the league, and we didn't win it till last year. So it started the year, the goal was to get to the final this year. We have to get to the final, and now we're going down, we want to win it. That's basically it. Some of the lads have medals, some of the lads, new fellas, don't have medals. So we want to be picking up medals. It's a national competition, and it is important to us.
What does the medal do for a track, Ben?
It justifies all the time you're putting in. So like, if a lot of fellas finished their careers and had great times, it's a no medal. The medals, that's what it's all about. That's proof that you were the best in the day in that competition. So it's just a confidence booster to every fella then as well. But it's nice when you finish. I have no league medal. I'd love to have a league medal, but it's nice when you finish up and that you're sitting inside the press that there are a bunch of medals inside there. There's if you go back over the league over the last 20 years, there haven't been too many counties that have it won. So it is just it is an honour. It is an honour. It is the second biggest competition in our game. So look, we set out staff here to get to the final and win it, and that's what we're going to do, and that'll tell you how important it is to us.
Would it be a confidence booster for a new management that we're on the right track?
Sure, it is nothing to it, us to the boys. John, fairness, we're only there and we're trying to put out the right team, and every fella has a small job in the squad. Strength and conditioning, nutritionists, everyone there all do their small little bit. We're the same as that. It is the boys go out and perform after. But look, if the boys win the medal on Sunday week, that's for the whole group. That's for all the backroom, that's for the 37 fellas we've won the pen. Like, we don't look at us and them, we're all the one. Like. So it'll be nice to finish off the league with a win.
You were at the 98 final as a fan, is it?
Yeah.
Did you think, like, that day in May 98, like that 15 months later, you'd be where you were, like, with that team?
No, sure, of course you wouldn't. You'd hope that you'd be there, like, but there's no way that you thought you get there, like. And I think I only played in one league final after. Yeah, beat by Kilkenny.
2002, sorry.
Yeah, beat by Kilkenny. So, like, to think that we win from 98 to last year without winning another league.
Yeah.
So now we're back in the final. So, why would we be going down not trying to win or play our best? Like, so that's the way we're approaching it. We're going down. It's another game to be won, and we're delighted to be there.
And like people would say that, you know, if you put too much into the league final, it could detract from the effort in the tip match. But in the camp, I presume you're seeing it as a stepping stone up towards the tip match game.
Yeah, well, like if we weren't playing the league final, we'd be looking for a challenge match.
Yeah.
And you know, challenge matches haven't played at the intensity that you want, so it is a great stepping stone for us. But now that you said it, Thurles. 2 weeks later is the day, like, it's the championship we're preparing for, but that doesn't mean that we're going down to Limerick to throw ourselves down and not perform. We're going down and we're going down to win the game full stop.
And that's the best preparation for what follows. What has been the biggest eye opener for you in terms of aspects of the job, or has it been everything that you were expecting?
I'm lucky I have John Cohen with me anyway for a start. He has the hardest job, I can assure that. I suppose the biggest thing is that the county board have helped us in any way that we look for it.
Yeah.
So you're not fighting for anything that you look for, and if they think that you need it, you get it. And then after that is just your background. If, like, there's no way that you could do everything yourself. It's just huge. People don't realise the amount of work that goes in the background, and like laughing there about John, like, but the amount of work John does, nutritionist Paul, the strength and conditioning lads, the physios,
it's
a big unit. There'll be people saying, oh, why have you this fella in the background and that fella? Do you need them? Like, do you need that many? You do, like, this is a huge thing. This is a professional outfit, like, and fellas still have to go to work the morning after, and they're work the day of the game, like, so it's just a huge. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is getting your background team right.
Yeah,
like, we have a group in our back room that are mixing with the players. You go down there eating after training, everyone's mixed, the players are sitting around everyone, like, so again, it isn't us and them, it's a united bunch.
Yeah.
And fellas are enjoying each other's company. Now, when you're winning matches, that's easy as well, of course, like, but no, I think that's the main thing, is that you have a group that have a bit of trust in each other and are getting on with.
And was Portugal just as important from a social point of view, so as a physical point of view?
I don't mean social, it's funny, I'm spending time there.
Yeah, that way. It wasn't social, and it wasn't as people say, how did the holiday go? To win the holiday, we trained fierce hard over there. No, we, the lads, trained fierce hard.
Yeah,
it was nice to be able to, after training, to be able to say, lads, group is ready there in our time, and you go into the room to meet you, and you sit down and you're able to talk to fellas.
Yeah,
you're not rushing and racing away. You could sit for an hour after having your dinner,
yeah,
and be talking to a fella about something that he's interested in.
Yeah,
American football is a big thing with a lot of lads. Like, and of course, we had Cheltenham on while we were there as well. So, there's a few horses talked about as well. Like, but that was that outside of the hard camp that we had.
Yeah,
that was the next best thing out of it, is that we got to know fellas a lot better.
Yeah,
and again, group mixed, and we had a good time over there, even though it was tough going.
Yeah,
had you been on any training camps away when you were playing?
I was on a couple of them. Yeah, but it was totally different. The first time I'd say we went to Limanga, after the first day I didn't train anymore because we trained too hard the first day. That's being serious, we were running to the ground the first day. And so I trained out of 3 days, I trained the first day, and that was it. I wasn't able to do anymore after that. Whereas this was so well planned, there wasn't a minute wasted in this. From the time you got up in the morning, you just scheduled from, like, and unless I get up in the morning, there was something at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then there was, you had your gym session, you had your meetings, you had your breakfast, then you had training, then you had your dinner, then you had a meeting, and then you had your evening training. And there was activities at night and again. So everything from time you got up in the morning until, I think, about 9 o'clock at night was all planned out. And you probably had this 9 to about maybe 10 to yourself. Fellas were inside bed at 10 o'clock. You know, so it was totally different. But again, times have changed. It's all professional now compared to when I was playing as well, like, so things have moved on.
Does it feel like running a medium-sized business when you're looking after 35 players and, I don't know, a dozen or two dozen kind of backroom team, like, for you overseeing all that? Like, how is it?
Again, I'll bring it back, like, you have to know who you're getting in. Like, we've a great bunch, everyone gets on, and my main job is to try and make sure everyone's happy. You're not going to keep everyone happy, but, like, if there's a problem, no, deal with it, we'll move on, get it sorted. But thankfully we don't have too many problems. As I said, John is worth his weight in gold. The amount of stuff that he goes through there, and you don't even know that he's doing it, and he'll come back to you. Job is done. Paul O'Sullivan, the nutritionist, he's on tall infillers morning, noon and night. You know, they've nothing to do for themselves because they've it all done. Ian Jones, Cahill, Conor Clancy, all the backroom doing the video things, like, it's just, they just do their jobs. They're given the job, and you don't have to worry about them again because you know that that's going to be done. If you say give any of them a job to do, you don't have to be asking, have you that done? Or when's that going to be sorted? They're back to you straight away, that's done. So that's the main thing about this gig, is that every fella has to, and like, we're only all playing a small part. Players obviously are the big thing in it, and all of us have a small part to play, and everything we do has to be about the players, because without the players we're no good to anyone. So we're trying to keep the players out of us, or keep them out of that kind of stuff that they've nothing to do, only turn up and perform. So we're lucky enough that the group is top class.
You've had Owen Downey playing in the half back line in the league, Ben, and he's done so very well. Is that to say that his time at fullback is done, or is he still an option there?
Oh no, every fellow is an option. I think you see there, like, even the trainer we're training, like, I know he hasn't played there in this year because we know what we have there. So we played him on the wing just to see him. We played him as centre back just to see what options we have. But at training, like, we have fellas playing. Owen has played fullback numerous times at training. Like, so like, going forward, there's no fella guaranteed to be playing anywhere. Joy, it's how you're going at the time. Injuries as well, like, you can take the weekend. Joyce was fullback. That's just trying Joyce out there as well. Like, he was an all-star wing back last year. He's inside, so we just want options, and that's what it is. We want as many options for as many positions as possible.
Was that the big value of the last game in Limerick? Because you had Joyce was midfield, Tim was centre forward, Shane corner forward. You kind of mixed up quite a bit there.
But we have been doing that all year anyway. Like, and like all the infielders that we put in positions weren't just put there for a day out. Like, all them fellas can play in them positions as well. It's just seeing how things fit in together. But look, I suppose going forward, things are starting to get serious now. Like, you're, every game from now on is a big game, and every game gets bigger as you go along. Like, so I suppose the time for changing around the team and doing too many positional changes, look, you'll see there's going to be teams start the championship, and then will there be a couple of changes before we play the next game, injuries and things, there probably will, like, but there won't be 7 or 8 positional changes or 7 or 8 new fellas introduced every day.
And to what extent does the opposition come into it when you're picking the defence more so than an attack?
Yeah, sure, you have to look at everything, like, but again, that's down to the fellas that you've picked, how they're performing.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to say that we're playing Team A today, and if your six backs go well today, it's very hard to say we're going playing Team B, and you have to go because you have a different job. Yes. So look, that's down to where the fellas are performing as well. And look, as I said to you, we have fellas that are versatile.
Yeah,
and there we've Owen Downey, we've Joyce, we've Rob, they can all play in the full back line.
Yeah.
Niall O'Leary and Sean, you don't know, was it 2 or 3 years ago, the two of them played centre forward for their clubs.
Yeah.
They're two best cornerbacks in the country, and they're playing centre forward for their clubs. Like, so now we're good hurlers in my versatile.
So you'd have no, just sort of filing full back, you'd have no issue, because there'd be only one league match left, I suppose, before you go into championship, you'd have no issue putting someone in at three who hasn't played there a whole pile, or if even at all, in this particular league.
Is there any such thing as a fullback anymore?
Probably,
one time fullback was, there were two cornerbacks and fullback, and that was it. Now you have most teams play with two inside. So, like, if you can't, like, one time the slowest fella in the field was probably your fullback. Do you know? Him or a corner forward that had good ends. But normally that's the way a big, strong fella be put inside fullback. Now you have to be able to hurl, you have to be able to move. So that's why I think it's so important that you're versatile fellas. And we have fellas like, we Mark Bowman can play wing back, centre field, centre forward, wing forward. Mark Bowman could play anywhere, like, so. And I think that's the way the modern game has gone, that fellas have to be able to perform in different positions.
Just asking Mark earlier, Ben, about Seamus Harnedy, the level that he's maintained over such a long time, must be one of the most probably underappreciated Cork players in recent memory. He's been outstanding for the last few years, especially. Like.
Yeah, he's been top class, and when he got the phone call this year about coming, he was delighted. He may have been probably even thought that he mightn't get a phone call, but he did, and as soon as he got the phone call, without hesitation, he said, yeah, brilliant. He's after a tough week now as well, he's after losing out a bit of sleep.
Yeah.
So that was the reason he didn't play last week, after the birth of his first son Joey. So look, he's a leader, the boys listen to him, and he's been around, and in fairness, I'm like, he still is friendly. You hear rumours around the place, oh, he's this and he's that, George, he's crippled and he can't walk. From what I see anyway, he's as fresh now as what he was 10 years ago. Mm. And he's mad for all. The man's in great shape. And we fired him in above against Galway in the league, and he'd no hurling them with us. Fired him in above. We got 4 or 5 points that night. Like, during circumstance since, we haven't seen much of him since, between an injury and labour problems. So, but he's a great fellow to have around, Ben. And like all the young fellas, we'll learn so much from him.
Were there any doubts in your mind about making that call to him over the winter?
None whatsoever. Yeah. And told just me that there's 4 more lads with me, and he was one of the first fellas down the list. Sure, even with the way he performed last year, you couldn't see beyond him.
You just missed out playing on the side of him, did you? I think
he was just after, yeah.
Yeah, you were just retired, yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I was well off, I suppose. But he's been top class for a long time now, like, top class for a long time. And has won a lot of big games, like. And, like, if you go back through Cork squads, down through the years, how many fella has come from a junior club and played senior hurling?
Yeah.
If you think about it, Tom Kinney was one that came through. Mm-hmm. Like, and when I say came through and is there for the last 12 or 13 years, like, Joe kept it going all the time. Like, I'm not criticising junior clubs, but he would be playing at a good few levels below where a lot of the fellas are playing their club hurling, just to get to that level. So, like, there are too many that have done that as well. So it just shows the dedication that he has.
Can I just ask you about Barry Walsh? I wasn't here on Saturday night, but I read your quotes with regard to Barry and minding him in the weeks ahead and being led by Ian and whatever. Was there much of a conversation, if any at all, given to not playing him on Saturday, just there being a 4-day?
No. Barry is going well at training. Barry's a young fella that wants to play in every game. So we just looked at it. We said that on the 20s played last Wednesday, wasn't it, John?
Yeah.
20s played Wednesday, so he didn't play with them. So he played with us. So he was going to play a game last weekend of us. So we just
Twenties challenge.
Yeah. So we said if he was going to play a game, he's going to get a half an hour with us, and we'd agreed with the Twenties lads that we give him a half an hour, and it was beneficial to him as well. Like, but again, that's huge for you. If you had three games this week, Barry going to play three games this week. Now, going forward, he had the game Wednesday night, the following Wednesday, and league final. So that's, we'll just have to manage that and see how he gets on the other two games before that. Like, but no, there was no question at all. No, he's confident at the moment. He's playing well, and he's a young fella. You couldn't deny him another night out in the league match.
Has anything surprised you about how well he's acquitted himself in the games, Ben? Because I think when he was named in the panel at the start of the year, it was maybe a sense of, oh, he's coming in to get a look at the panel and kind of settle himself in. But he looks like he's well in contention now.
Anyone that thought that he was coming in just to get if they saw the size of him, he's a 19-year-old in a 25-year-old's body. He came in and straight away the boys have racks for weights and things. He was put on rack one. That's the heavy boys, they're lifting the big stuff. He was put on that straight away. Obviously it is an advantage that he's so big and strong and powerful. When he came in, we had him in the 20s, so we knew what we were bringing in. We're looking at this year, we're not looking at next year, the year after. We're in it at the moment, and we want to win everything we can.
You mentioned rumours there in regard to Seamus. Do you hear many rumours? Do they come to you, or do people know better than to be bringing kind of...
You hear everything, yeah? Yeah, the latest one since last Saturday night is that there's shadow boxing going on in Limerick in 2 weeks' time. So we're not shadow boxing anyway, and I'm sure Limerick won't be either. We're going down to put ourselves up against the best and see how we get on. So that's one that's going around. It's a bit of shadow boxing going on, but no. So I hear loads of stories and things. It all comes back. Everything's come back, no matter what side they're on the best. We'll come back and someone will tell you something, but no, take it with a pinch of salt.
I was up in Limerick on Saturday night. He said he expects to see two different Cork teams. I don't know the dates. One on Sunday week and one 3 weeks later.
Okay. Well, we're putting out our strongest team for that game on Sunday week, and we're putting out 3 weeks after that. We'll have Limerick up here and we'll put out our strongest team for that. So we're going to win all games in front of us.
Is Limerick a rivalry that matters kind of more to you than the average Cork person, given where Newtown is?
No, I like any ever again. I know I'm low on the border, and tis a good bit of crack down there. I said during the week, there's some people you think they're actually Cork, or you said they're Limerick, and next in the week of the championship you see a flag goes up and you say, I never knew they were Cork, or I never knew they were. And that's serious. Inside your own Jarvel, there's half town Limerick. That's the way it's split, there's half and half Cork and Limerick. I don't want to see anyone else winning anything, only Cork. Full stop. And I'm only interested in Cork, and I don't want I love the rivalry in it. I love the local rivalry below, but that's not to say that I don't like beating Waterford or Tip Kerry or anyone else in Athlet. It's just I've only one thing in my head, and that's Cork.
Being on the border, you know, it's to kind of had up a bit over the last few years, just which I suppose Limerick and Cork needed so much. I suppose Limerick's success kind of prior to that.
Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, look, that's because I'm eating so often. It's bound to be heating up. I suppose for a long time Limerick were in the doldrums, and for the last few years it has been Cork. But we'll be getting back. And I suppose down where we are, there isn't too much talked about else, only hurling. It's good crack. I know that when I got this gig, I had people from Limerick sent me cards wishing me all the best, not against Limerick, but wishing me all the best against other teams, but not against Limerick. So look, it is a good rivalry, and that's what keeps the whole thing going. If you're playing teams up the country, that's different, you get to a different stage, but it's nice to have a little rivalry down this side.
Yeah, that was Cork boss Ben O'Connor there speaking to the media, and certainly what a rivalry it's shaping up to be. Right, time to go for some quick sporting updates, and we'll have a look at the Energia AIL.
Energia AIL updates on the Big Red Bench. With Energia, think of the possibilities.
In Division 1A, Cork Con, they beat Lansdowne 38 points to 12. But regardless of that, they still miss out on the semi-finals for the first time in 11 years as Terenure beat UCD in their game. In Division 1B, UCC beat Gary Owen 24 points to 10. And then Queen's University, they beat Highfield 31 points to 19. And Energia aerial update. So with thanks to Energia, think of the possibilities. At club rugby, Munster got spanked 31 points to 21 away to the Exeter Chiefs. Scoreline properly flattered Munster in the end. It was over at halftime, as was 31 points to nil going into the break there. In the FA Cup, Man City demolished Liverpool 4-0. Chelsea are also leading Port Vale 5-0 now, I think, in their game. And Arsenal take on Southampton later on this evening. Well, in the Women's All-Ireland Cup, Cork City are currently losing 1-0 to Athlone Town there. Back to the hurling, and to finish up, here's Cork's Niall O'Leary speaking to Tommy Rooney of Off the Ball ahead of tomorrow's clash.
Right, Niall O'Leary, Cork hurler, how are things?
Very good now, very good, can't complain.
Are you enjoying your 2026? Cork are in a good place, you have a new manager in Ben O'Connor. We've all enjoyed listening to Ben over the last little while. What's it like playing under him?
Yeah, it is great. Look, I suppose he's been a fella that we would have idolised growing up ourselves as young fellas. And I suppose to see him in the flesh and being involved with him has been a huge positive for all of us, definitely, yeah.
What's it like growing up idolising that team? Because they were rock stars, really, weren't they?
Yeah, they were unbelievable. I think, I suppose, me, myself, I suppose we were a very looking cast Lions. We had a man playing McCarthy, like, so it was kind of a great period of time for us and cast Lions in particular as well, to have a fella like that playing at that level and winning at that level as well.
Yeah, you've gone on a journey recently in the club. Yeah, we were just chatting there, you were knocking on the door for an awful long time. Sounds a bit like the County story.
Yeah, look, I suppose we've been unlucky at times at the club as well, but I think it was even sweeter when it came to fruition, then we got over the line, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, what was that like, those moments, the relief? Was it relief or was it elation, or what way was it?
Yeah, look, I suppose with the club it was definitely relief. I suppose, as I said, we were 5 or 6 years knocking on the door trying to get over the line, and I suppose when it happened then it was just a huge sense of relief, and I think it was seen in our performances then the year after, and we were kind of, a better team going forward after it.
You obviously get so much, I'm guessing, from playing hurling intercounty and club level. I can't imagine you'd be doing it if you weren't getting much out of it. But when the big days aren't going your way, is it tough to keep going at it and keep knocking on the door, or does it just drive you that bit much more?
I think it drives you, to be honest with you. Look, I was only saying to the lads earlier, like, I suppose when Cork won in 2005, and to see the lads getting off the bus in Castle Lines with the cup, I think that was a huge inspiration. It's something that you really, really, really want to do. So I think, look, and I know it hasn't gone our way the last 2 years in particular, but it's still a huge driving factor to get over the line, and we'll stay at it as long as we'll have to too, I think.
Yeah, it's no consolation to you, but I'm not sure, did you hear Anthony Daly talking to Thomas Niblock last week? And I only copped the clip last night, but he was asked about winning All-Ireland and the best thing about it, and he spoke about getting lifted through the village of Clarecastle by the fellas he grew up with and went to school with. And no matter whether you're from Clare or you're Cork or you're Limerick or you're Dublin, that's what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think for any fella growing up, I suppose any fella that was there to witness it in 2005 or 2004, and to see any fella like that come back to your club, I think it's something that is a huge memory that you'll have always. And I think it's something then when you get to play at that level that you might get to do it yourself.
The group must be close, are you?
Yeah, very close group, I suppose. In one sense, a lot of us have played together, going, I suppose, with colleges, divisional teams, different things like that in previous years. So again, very close group, and I suppose it's very close as well. So it's been really good that way.
And just to go in tandem with that, there must be a ferocious competitiveness within the squad as well. Like, you can tell it from looking at you, and also when you're crunching the numbers and looking at the players that Ben O'Connor has used or Pat Ryan has used over the years as well. You have so many options and there's good depth there.
Yeah, I think so, and I think we saw that in the league this year as well. You see the amount of players that got league game time this year, I think was massive. I think there was over 28 fellas played league games this year, and like, you can see how well fellas played in those games as well. I think every fella knew it was kind of a chance, and they put their best foot forward every time they went out there as well.
How do you foster that competitiveness within a group, do you think, that it stays on the right side of it?
I don't think it's a hard thing to manage. I think every fella knows it's you're doing the best for a group. I suppose we depend on every fella when it comes to in training. We want every fella trying their best to get on the team. It's only going to improve every fella, even in games and training, in-house games. We want every fella going as hard as he can to make sure if I'm marking a fella that when I'm going out next week in maybe a league final or something, that I know exactly that I'm up to that level to play my best.
I was chatting to Mark Rogers there a couple of minutes ago. You passed going through there. I don't know how many times you've passed shoulders like that on a hurling field, but we were talking a little bit about the privilege of playing in front of sellouts and what it's like in Munster Championship, and all your Cork games have been incredible. What's it like for anyone who doesn't really get the concept of playing in a game like that in that arena when it's absolutely hopping?
Yeah, look, it's a strange one, I suppose. In one sense, you kind of don't take any notice at times, I suppose, in game, but I suppose there is a couple of occasions when there's a break in play and you have a quick look out. It's ridiculous, I suppose, in particularly above in Croke Park. The sellout crowd above there is something, like, I know my first time up there in an All-Ireland final, it was something I've never witnessed before, and probably hit me a bit harder than it should have, I suppose, compared to recent years. But it's a real special thing, and it's something, I suppose, we don't take for granted either.
It's a funny one, because obviously the main goal is to win, but it's also to experience these things, but then you're actively trying to avoid it so you can stay in the moment.
Yeah, definitely, I suppose. Look, you're trying your best to concentrate on what you're doing, but again, it's so loud and there's so much going on around you. I suppose it's hard at times to kind of switch off to see what's going on. But again, like when you'd be there on TV watching these soccer games, there's 50,000 and 60,000 people in front of you, and you go up to Croke Park and All-Ireland final day and there's over 80,000. It's just mad.
It's incredible. It's going to be another sellout across the road. Gaelic Grounds on Sunday. It's going to be four teams in action. Clare and Dublin in the first game. Yourselves and Limerick are meeting again. You boys are getting used to seeing each other.
Yeah, look, I think we've created a big rivalry there in recent years. I suppose Limerick have been the bar setter in hurling there the last 8 years. So again, it's always nice to come down and play them and hopefully get a performance, get them to kind of get your year going again.